For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my shirt. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation. Ah, plantain, 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 plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. It is the weekend review. It is me, Tosin. I am in the host chair. I'm back. I did not leave, not abandon you, okay? I did not go to go get milk from the store. But I'm here with Dean and Coach. Fellas, how y'all doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Dean, what about you?
Hey, man, it's nice to be here. I feel great. I look good. What else matters? Nothing.
That's a great jersey, by the way. Who made that?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it goes with my skin real well. Like, y'all should cop it. If you didn't get one, go get one. It's nice, isn't it?
You should. And there's a pink one right there if you want to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, I want to shout out to Believe Network. We are officially on Believe Network, and we want to shout them out because they are great people, and we're working with them this year. So big, big shout out to them. That's
Believe.
Yeah. And tip our glasses to them. Second of all, YouTube. Sounded super Baltimore right there, but we are gonna be on YouTube, so yeah. If you want to see our beautiful, handsome Nigerian faces, good look at that. If you just listen to our beautiful Nigerian voices, you could do that as well on the podcast audio. And last but not least, it is a big derby weekend that happened this weekend in Europe, and we're gonna cover all the actions and shenanigans that happened this weekend. We're excited. Yeah. Y'all ready to talk about the Bundesliga?
Let's go.
Okay, so the 10th place team in Bundesliga, they were down 2-0 against Bayern Munich, the mighty Bayern Munich, who have won, what, like 12, 13 Bundesligas in a row, right? They got Harry Kane. All of a sudden, this team, FC Heidenheim, or, you know, if you can't read like myself, FC Heidenheim, they came back from nowhere and they beat them 3-2. Fellas, you know, I need y'all opinions on this and y'all thoughts, because Gnabry and Kane, they scored, obviously.
This is all you, man.
What does got to do with me? You the Arsenal fan here. You wearing an Arsenal jersey. You playing Bayern this Tuesday.
So you don't support Arsenal anymore?
What's that?
You don't support Arsenal anymore?
That's all I support. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, you're the one representing right now. So this is on you.
It was clean, man. That was all it was, man. That's
yeah, but I mean, it's hard not to see this result and gain a lot of confidence as an Arsenal fan. I mean, obviously Bayern will probably show up because they don't want to get embarrassed in the Champions League. But this was a pathetic performance. I mean, like, you can't go 2-0 against a newly promoted team, actually, because Heidenheim were not in the Bundesliga last year. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this is the first time in Bundesliga history that this has happened, where Bayern took a 2-0 lead against a newly promoted team and didn't win the game. Yeah, Kane scored because that's what he does. As Tosin said, Gnabry as well. But second half started and Bayern forgot who the fuck they were. And I can't really blame them because the situation there is really bad. You can't have a lame duck coach and expect results to be good, you know. So this is to be expected, to be honest. So if I'm an Arsenal fan, which I am, I'm kind of confident about it. But you still got to be cautious because good players are good players.
Yeah. I mean, my only takeaway from it is the fact that they've made plans ahead of Arsenal, basically, you know, with their centre-backs, partnerships and Slack. They're picking their poison clearly here. And I really think it doesn't really matter who plays in their partnership. They're low on confidence. This is a low confidence Bayern team right now. You know, everyone could be fit. They'd still be low in confidence. From what I read over the weekend, they're missing like five players. I think Neuer might be back, but apart from that, Coman, Sane, you know, these are all players. Pavlovic, you know, who's been a revelation for them. You know, it's not looking good for them at all. Yeah. Good luck.
as a guy whose team played Bayern Munich in the Champions League, all I have to say is this. They let Maynard score 2+ goals on them twice. Anyways, Union Berlin lost to Leverkusen. Leverkusen are 16 points clear, fellas. 16. So technically, they could win the title next week. And you know what their nickname is. I'm sure some of you don't know this. The nickname is Neverkusen because they've never won the Bundesliga. Dean and coach, I need your opinions on Leverkusen this year, man. They're going well.
I think the most impressive thing about this Leverkusen team is that a lot of people didn't see this happening. You know, some people that were attuned to, you know, what they were building and whatnot probably saw them challenging Bayern. But I don't even think even in their wildest dreams, they would have saw them doing it in this dominant fashion. Bayern obviously on a slump kind of thing, but the way Leverkusen are going to win it this year isn't, I don't think Bayern have ever won it in such a dominant fashion. At least the last 10 times. You know, I don't think they've won it in such a dominant fashion. And yeah, it's all thanks to Granit Xhaka.
Also, let me ask you a question. Do you think Leverkusen sees the season out, like undefeated? At least
Yeah, I do. Xabi Alonso looks like a nutcase. Like, he looks like one of those guys that, like, he's a perfectionist. I mean, look at the way he tweeted his retirement. You know, we use that as a meme, but, like, this guy's not for lack of a better word, he doesn't fuck around. So I can see them, you know. Honestly, I can see them winning Europa League, too. I could literally see them winning a little, you want to call it a treble, it's a sweaty treble, but it's a treble nonetheless. But I can see him doing it. So, yeah. What about you? I mean, Florian Wirtz scored his first penalty ever. I know that's your boy. I know you love Florian, so you talk to me about him.
I mean, he's arguably, I mean, we'd give it to Granit Xhaka because we're biased, but he's arguably been the best attacking player in the Bundesliga this year. For sure. Now, that said, he got Victor Boniface back this weekend, which was nice. He hasn't played since before AFCON. I think he got hurt in January, abdominal issue, and he was back this weekend. And I remember that he and Wirtz had a really nice combination going before Boniface got injured. But Wirtz is a man. I just hope he doesn't end up at Bayern or City. Anywhere else, I'm fine with.
For sure.
Yeah. One more thing on just the Boniface injury. I mean, most teams go unbeaten and most teams go unbeaten because it doesn't really happen often, but most teams that win a league, should I say, and you know, they, you know, do it in a dominant fashion, they normally have their first team striker playing a lot of minutes, and Boniface hasn't. Alonso deserves a lot of credit for essentially saying, okay, I don't have a striker, so both my fullbacks are going to be my strikers now. Wingbacks, I say, are going to be my strikers. And how about that? I think that's just, it's a mark of a great coach and a mark of a great team as well. Yeah, West Ham, you know, you're going to be in trouble, I think, for sure.
Another team, Leipzig. I can't even pronounce my words today. Leipzig beat Freiburg 4-1. Penda had a double. Haidara and Sesko scored. It's pretty much a breeze for Energy Drink FC. Another goal from both their strikers. So I have a question for both of you. Which
the one? Answer's a Penda. It's a Penda. That's it. It's a Penda.
He is the older one, so I suppose it makes sense. But it's the question.
This is an African-only live, guys. I'm sorry.
I suppose the question was going to be, which one of those strikers is most ready for the big move, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Coach answered this with the same answer I will, but, you know, he decided to steal from the chicken pot instead of letting the thing finish. Next time I smack your hand, don't behave like that. Stuttgart beat Dortmund. We all know what Dortmund are, and they know what they are. They're not serious. But, you know, that's who they are. They actually beat Bayern for once when they're not supposed to. When it mattered the most, they beat Bayern. They don't beat Bayern. When it doesn't matter, they beat them anyways. Garassi scored. That guy's just on a tear anyhow. So that's that over there. Y'all have anything else you want to add about that besides Hoeneß is a really good coach?
Yeah. Bayern literally needs to look over their shoulder because they're level on points from Stuttgart now. Like, they could. There's a universe out there where they finish third. Which I think that'll be beautiful, honestly.
That would be the most hilarious shit ever. I need that to happen. I need it.
Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah. We spoke about it. We were like, I think about a month ago, we were like, do you think Bayern slip any further? And we're like, nah, they won't do that kind of thing. And now it's here. It's literally right here. I'd love to see it.
Let's look at the Bundesliga table. Leverkusen are in first with 76 points. Bayern and Stuttgart are both in second and third, respectively, because of goal difference with 60 points. Leipzig are there with 53 points in fourth. Dortmund are also in fifth. They tied with Leipzig with 53, but goal difference. And Frankfurt ranks out, they round out the top six with 42 points. So that's that in the Bundesliga. It's basically wrapped up for Xabi Alonso. Let's go to Serie A, the league of racismo. Milan and Lecce 3-0. I mean, I am really enjoying what they're doing with that front three, with Leao, Chukwueze, and Pulisic. It's fun over there. All three of them. Well, Pulisic scored, Giroud scored, and Leao scored. Coach, does this make you happy? The strike partnership. Do you like that? What they're doing over there?
Yeah, I think me and Dean have had lengthy conversations about Milan on and off the pod. And my main thing about them was second half of the season, they just essentially need to show up, because there's a chance somewhere next season where they could potentially be challenging again, because they've got all of the tools there, especially in attack already. They probably would need to upgrade on Giroud, I think, because I think at 38 years old, which will be next season, it probably might be a step too far, but who knows? It's Italy.
No, he's coming to the MLS, bro. He's coming to LAFC. Guaranteed.
I was going to say, Coach, that Giroud has to, he's coming to LA, man. Handsome boy modeling school needs to come out to LA and let them know who the real sexy man is. So that's what
we're doing. But I'll say, look, between Pulisic, Chukwueze, Leao, Loftus, well, they might not keep hold of Leao, who knows? But let's just say they do, right? Loftus Cheek, like, they've got a lot of goals there and a lot of power there as well. They could, you know, with a couple more signings, be challenging into next season. So, yeah, like, this season was all about just building something for the next year, because they are currently on the table. They're so far behind Inter. So, yeah.
You forgot one more player, Tijani Babangida. I mean, Tijani Rangers, sorry.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, that his dad named after Tijani Babangida.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, his dad's a real hooper. That's all we know about that. It's a real hooper.
I just think we've all lived too long. That's what's going on here. We need to hurry up and get the fuck out of here, people.
I mean, if you want to really feel, Chris Paul's son plays just like him, but that's another conversation another day. Christian Pulisic, I need to talk about this guy real quick. I am very genuinely impressed with Christian Pulisic. Mm-hmm. It makes the hater in me upset that he's doing so well, but it makes the football fan in me so happy to see a kid realize his dreams in another country. I know that he had a little controversy in Chelsea and, you know, they kind of iffy about him, but he's doing well. Like, he's genuinely doing well. I think that he honestly might be Milan's best player this season. I know everyone loves Leao, and Leao's been doing well, and Theo Hernandez is there, but Christian Pulisic has literally shown up for them. Like, he scored double figures already. He's got a lot of assists. When they need him the most, Christian's always showing up. So, hey, good for him, man. Dean, you got anything you added on that, or are you good?
Yeah, I've been shitting on this dude for years, but really the issue with him was always fitness. You know, like when I was in England, he could never stay fit. His hamstrings kept going and going and going. I think sometimes, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about Justin Kluivert a little bit later, but sometimes you just need to be in the right place to platform your talent. You know, he was never a bad player. He was just not the LeBron James of soccer. Let's be very clear about that shit.
He never came up with that because, listen, they need a good kick in.
Yeah, some dumb yank, you know.
No, I actually know where it was from. It's one of those TV shows, like I forgot, like HGTV or something. They were like giving them, I was like, oh, he's a Christian Pulisic of soccer, and it kind of stuck. So, yeah, whatever. Anyways, Roma and Lazio played in the Rome Derby, and bullet header from Mancini scored. By the way, after the game, Mancini had a flag with the Lazio name on it, right? The Lazio logo, and it was a big rat in the middle. I was like, yeah. That's real nasty. Hey, yeah. I like that. That's fire. Roma's tailed off a bit, but they're still undefeated in the league since they lost to Inter back in February. What do you guys think about De Rossi? Do you think they should keep him, or what do you think?
Well, he's infinitely a much better coach than the last guy. Like, just way better, like, in every way conceivable.
Can I ask you who that guy is?
I can't remember. What's his, one Portuguese fellow that probably said someone insulted these.
Yeah, Jose Peseiro.
Yeah, one of those crybabies. I don't know.
Those fucking Jose ass niggas.
Yeah, same thing.
but yeah, like, I think I'm very pleased with when former players come in and they don't shit the bed. It's always a nice thing. Maybe because I'm an Arsenal fan, I don't know. But it's nice when a player that's obviously done very well for the club in their playing career and then they come back and then they actually show that, look, you know, I'm not just here for nostalgia purposes, you know, which, you know, or should I say they're not here for the vibes like Steven Gerrard is, because, you know, he's been putting himself in that shop window for how long now? Like, bro, you're never going to manage Liverpool, ever. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, let a real midfielder do what he does. You know, if Xabi Alonso still wants to go to Liverpool, I don't know. But yeah, genuinely, Roma, you know, with Lukaku being injured for a period and whatnot, and all of those kind of and like all the other struggles that he had with Mourinho, I think they've had a pretty good like second half of the season as well. And winning a Rome derby is always gonna go down well. I think they should probably give him a chance for sure.
Yeah. I got two more things to add. And the last one is for Dean. First one is Tammy Abraham is back. So, you know, good for Tammy. Very happy to see that he's back playing. Second one is, I know you're a connoisseur of football kits, as I can see with the one you have on once again. Don't forget to buy it. What do you think about Roma's fourth kit that they wore this weekend?
You know what? Initially, I liked it. I hated the sponsor. I was like, without the sponsor, it's going to be dope. But then I realized that it's just a copy of like United's away kit from like two seasons ago. So I'm not so impressed. Yeah, it's just that blue United kit. It's the same pattern, you know. So, but it's a nice kit. I'm just saying, like they've done this before. You know? Nice kit.
Another game. Munster lost to Napoli 4-2. Every goal in this game was just a wickedly great goal. But I think Politano might have had the best goal out of all of them. What do you guys think? Before we finish, hold on. Let me interject. Victor Osimhen can jump out the effing gym.
Yeah, but the funny thing about him jumping out the gym is that it reminded us of how fragile he is.
Yeah.
If you're a club that's – Victor Osimhen is our guy. We're all Nigerian here. We all support him. We've been watching his career since he was an under-17 player. He's the African footballer of the year at the moment. But he's so fragile. He scored a great goal where he jumped higher than Osama did. Then he landed on his face. Like, bro, like, can you stop breaking things on your own body? Like, there's no way your career will last as long as it needs to for it to be worth it to spend $100 million on you if you keep breaking your own self. It's crazy how fragile it is. It really is. Yeah. Like, I would not. I know he's been heavily linked to my club, Arsenal, but I don't know that I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, he like just, you know, he just plays everything with just like he's. He has this. He just wants to play like he wants to leave Nigeria. That's literally how he wants to play. Like he's literally like he's trying to get papers. Like, bro, you've left. Farabale, calm down.
You know what? He reminds me of Martinelli when he first got to Arsenal. Yeah. Everything at the same gear, full speed ahead. Everything was like, bro, chill. Sometimes use the same gear.
It's that youthful exuberance. He's probably gonna play that his entire career.
He gotta chill, bro. He gotta chill.
Yeah. Frosinone and Bologna tied 0-0. Waleed Chedira, he reminded us, you know, with his poor missus, you know, just reminded us of what he does. Bologna went that good today. No, they weren't actually, but I don't know. Begs the question, Thiago Motta, does his agent need to chill? Where's he going to go? What do you think?
They're talking about Juventus, and that would make me throw up like consecutively for like a month. He doesn't need to go to that club. What needs to happen to Juventus? They need to be destroyed and hit by a meteor. Right, and just be put out of existence. We don't need any more cheating in Italy, right? Because they get someone like Kim, and then all of a sudden they get, you know, they have a really good coach now, and then they get confidence, and then oh yeah, you know what? Instead of building it organically, we're just gonna cheat our way to success again. I'm not having it. Right, they cannot get their hands on Mata. I won't allow it.
Well, what would you prefer that he did if he leaves Bologna, which he probably will? Would you rather he went to Juventus or Manchester United?
I'd prefer him to go to Juventus. I'm sorry, I'd prefer him to go to United kind of thing, but I'd prefer him to do that while somehow destroying Juventus somehow. All that needs to happen is that Juventus needs to be destroyed, guys. That's really what I'm concerned about, honestly. but yeah, to be honest, it'll be cool to see him in England, you know what I mean? Like, and a job like United is a project job, isn't it, at this point, that they all know. Yeah, I'm not against that idea.
It's a project job and it's the projects at the same time. But speaking of Juventus, they beat Fiorentina 1-0. Federico Gatti. That sounds like such a New Jersey killer name.
Like, yeah.
Sound like somebody from Newark who does nefarious activities. real Tony Soprano hours.
Welcome this morning.
Yeah.
He scored and now Juventus got links to Mata. So Inter and Udinese play tomorrow, round up the Serie A. And let's look at the table. Right now, Inter are a game behind because they played tomorrow. So they're 79 points. Milan are with 68 points. Juventus are 62 at third. Bologna are in fourth with 58. Roma are there with 55, and Atlanta are there with 50. Atlanta, don't come and say I said it wrong. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the French league. Lille and Marseille. Jonathan David penalty, as per usual. Remy Kabaya scored a curler, and Goodmanson had the third goal. So it looks like they're going to stay in the Champions League spots. Mm-hmm. Coach, question for you. What do you think about Lille making it to this Champions League? Do you think it's going to happen?
I mean, they better. They got a whole flipping training ground named after Eden Hazard. Like, don't disgrace my guy. Like, no, but seriously, I think they're in with a shout. It's not going to be easy. Just let me refresh my memory of the league table again, because last time I checked, there was like only a point in it, or was it goal difference? It's 4 points. Yeah, it's in their hands. That's the main thing. It's in their hands. And to my recollection, like, pretty much most of their big games, I mean, they got Aston Villa in the thingy this week, but most of their big games this season, like, what is it, Monaco that's left? Yeah, that's it pretty much. And Nice. Nice is actually on the last day of the season. Oh. I'd say watch this space. Watch this space for them, because that could be, you know, we know how the football gods are, you know what I mean? It really could go down to the last game, but I trust them.
Yeah. PSG tied 1-1 with Clermont Foot. Goncalo Ramos saved PSG from an embarrassing almost home loss. Mm-hmm. Mbappe came on at halftime, assisted a goal. Luis Enrique, you know, as after the game, as he always does, debates people. Senimanyu, another promising French player, another 17-year-old, scored. So it's just, I don't know, man. Like, this Ligue 1 just keeps producing talent after talent after talent. Mm-hmm. PSG can't replace Mbappe. So why bother? I don't even think Liao is going to go, because why would Liao, you know, he's the man in Italy. Why would you want to go to Paris? Back to France. I don't know. So what do you guys think about that? Liao going to PSG?
I don't see it either. It feels like a natural fit, because everyone is like, okay, Mbappe is going to Real Madrid. But I think PSG has a project that's working. I don't know that Luis Enrique is going to co-sign spending $100 million on some guy that he's going to have to like coddle again, or like try to break down to have him play the way he wants him to play. Like, he got all his guys, you know, you just mentioned that young guy, Senny Mayulu. He actually scored a goal that got disallowed in this game. Really good goal, but correctly disallowed. But yeah, I think they'll just stick with this youth project. And honestly, this is the scariest PSG have been to me, even with Mbappe on his way out. Like, I just feel like, because they have a project that actually makes sense for once, instead of just doing celebrity bullshit, they actually feel like an incoming threat. They're not there yet, but they will get there if they just stay on the right path.
Yeah. Our favorite team, Titi, aka Brest, they beat Metz 4-3. Bunch of different body parts that he used to score, so fair enough. you know, that's that over there. Y'all got anything else you want to add about our second favorite team in France?
Man, like, they have been essentially the surprise package of the league this season. You know, like, sometimes you just don't know where a pair of lovely things are going to pop up from, and they've just been bouncing near the top of the table all season. Just a whole lot of excellent cleavage from them. They've just been very dominant in the league, right next to PSG. Very impressive, because no one expected Brest to be anywhere near the top of the table. And we've been saying that, like, Coach and I have been saying this on the pod since, I don't know, like November, and they haven't fallen off. Like, at some point, you expect a team like Brest to just fall off, because
gravity.
Who the fuck are they even? I don't even know who the fuck they are. Like, I still haven't learned their players' names and shit, you know. So please for them, good stuff.
So you mean to tell me they got a rack of goals?
Man, they're racking up a bunch of points. They just bouncing, they swaying. It's great. It's great stuff from Brest.
Monaco and Rennes was 1-0. Anything? I don't really, you know, just one of those games. Just is what it is in Ligue 1.
Yeah, well, Coach's boy scored, Magnus.
Yeah, I was going to say, Akliush is there again. I'll be honest, I hope he stays there for another couple of years. I don't feel like he will inevitably be linked in the summer with a whole bunch of teams, kind of thing. I feel like stay in Monaco, keep playing your trade, the big move will come, kind of thing. But there's so much talent, like, there's so much tools to work with, kind of thing. And his versatility as well, such a young age as well. Like, I'm really, really excited to see how he develops, kind of thing. And I hope I really hope he develops into the new mold of a second striker, because that's what I feel like, yeah, the game needs more second strikers. We need more Kakas, guys.
Speaking of,
there was only one Kaka. We're not getting another Kaka. Like,
no,
so unique.
So we need more.
You can't find a 6'3" white Brazilian who's faster than most people on the pitch with close control. You're not going to find that. Yeah. God said, here you go. One of one. Take one it.
And he didn't give him fully functioning hamstrings as well.
I mean, God also said, if you white and got PMP, you know, it's looking techie for you, bro. Knots and Leon. Leon scored like 3 goals in like 15 minutes to win the game, like the 74th minute. Lacazette's goal is the most sweatiest goal you'll see all weekend. Just put pressure in the keeper, and then they decided after that, you know,
we're not talking about Lacazette, guys. Let's not stuff. I'm not talking about that guy anymore. So,
not yeah, Lacazette scored, Fofana scored, and they got a gift from Orban. He made it 3-1. Let's look at the standings in League One. PSG obviously top of the league with 63 points, Brest the next with 53. Monaco are in third with 52. Lyon are in fourth with 49. Nice are in fifth with 44. And Lens are in sixth with 43 points. So that is your Ligue 1 wrap. Let's move over to La Liga. There was no games in La Liga this weekend that they observed the Copa del Rey final. Excuse me, a little thing in my throat. Bilbao, Mallorca, it was 1-1, went to penalties, 4-2. This is what, their 24th Copa del Rey, but their first in like 40-something years? Some absurd stat like that. Just absolute bonkers.
Yeah, 40-year trophy draw. That's kind of insane. Like, you think, I mean, I know that they have that very unique setting where they only play players from the Basque region and all that, but even so, a 40-year trophy draw is insane. Like, Arsenal fans had a trophy draw for how long was it, coach?
9 years.
And we lost our ever loving minds. Like, I can't imagine 40 years, man.
Did you hear coach's voice just now drop?
Yeah, his voice like cracked. I was like, oh, not 9 years.
Yeah. I was thinking about Chelsea going 50 years without one as well, because you know,
your voice cracked. I thought you had to talk to Dr. Melfi real quick. Like, geez. Bilbao dominated the match, obviously. Mallorca opened up the scoring. I don't think Mallorca's won a trophy since Samuel Eto'o was there. Maybe. We'll do some deep dive research on that for you next week. Nico Williams had a goal disallowed for all sides. Then they kept missing. Then Sanchez equalized at the beginning of the second half. Nico Williams had an assist. But yeah, it's back to missing chances. Valverde, Ernesto has 12 trophies to his name. What do you think he ranks amongst the top managers? Let's talk about Valverde real quick.
We use the word underrated a lot, but I think it actually fits in this instance.
For sure.
I think since Luis Enrique won that treble at Barcelona, I feel like he's been the most successful Barcelona manager. I think he's the only one that won a league before Xavi showed up and accidentally won one last year. And you know, and he's just a very quiet and unassuming guy. I feel like that kind of worked against him when he's at Barcelona as well. But 12 trophies in this era where, you know, the game has changed so much where the big teams win everything. Like, and he's kind of been in this era and he's managed to pick up 12 trophies. That's a really good coach. Like, if obviously I'd want Mikel Arteta to stay at Arsenal for a very long time, but someone like Ernesto Valverde would be someone I'd be interested in if things were to change. Assuming he's not too old at that point. And he's a Renaissance man. He's like a photographer. He's a painter. He's in a band. Very interesting character in the game. But I find it fascinating that despite all his achievements, like when we're talking about, you know, who Manchester United is going to hire or who, you know, where Thiago Motta is going to go, like people don't really talk about this dude. I don't think he's that old that he should be ignored in the game. I mean, like he literally won La Liga not even, was it 4 years ago? You know, like I feel like his name should be out there a little bit more, but maybe this would do it for him.
He's 60, so maybe, you know.
Okay, that's fair. 60 is not young anymore, but that's fair. But
I have a question though. What kind of conversations do you think potentially happen between him and Steve Nash and Steve Kerr? You know, as these guys are part owners of Mallorca as well. Do you reckon they have actually interacted?
I don't think that Valverde manages Mallorca, my brother.
That's Javier Aguirre that manages them. who, by the way, in this game before the penalty shootout, I'd never seen this before, as he was telling the players who were going, like, which ones of them were going to take the penalties. After every selection, like, everyone was like cheering, and it was like the cutest little thing ever. I mean, they lost like 5 minutes later, but it was nice. It was a nice moment for them, you know. So at least they got to celebrate, you know. And I think that game was, this game was just generally played in a good spirit, you know, like a lot of cup finals. I don't know. It's just, you know, it's very life or death, because you got to win, either win or you lost. That's pretty much it. And the vibes were just really good. And it shocked me, because the main character in this game was probably Nico Williams. And given everything going on in Spain lately, I really wasn't expecting the vibes to be that good. But shout out Spain for not doing a racism this weekend. But that's really only because there weren't enough games to do a racism in.
That is true.
I did talk to Statman. Statman did tell us the last time Mallorca won a trophy was 2003, when Ethel scored twice in the Copa del Rey final. So that's, you know, speaking of black men doing well in Spain, talk about the Williams brothers, Nico and
Ina. I love them.
Do we really have to, though? They're fucking Ghanaian. I don't give a fuck.
But seriously, I really love them. And I think it's it's very rare that we get to see two players that are obviously related, but at a top level, and winning shit together. Like, I think the last time I personally can recall, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, was probably the Bo twins at Barca. That was well over 20. That was like 25 years ago at this point, maybe even longer.
That's Gary. That's Gary Neville and Phil Neville erasure. I will not stand for it.
Do you know what? That's absolutely spot on. But I don't care. They're white.
Fuck them, nigga.
So what are the Du Bois brothers?
They're Dutch.
Okay. Even worse.
Anyway, my point is that it's nice to see, and it's also nice to see that obviously it normally does go that the younger brother tends to be better, but Inaki is
no,
Nico's great.
Let me finish. But a lot of Nico's great performances this season, kind of thing. Nico and Inaki's been there. Inaki, like, we had a cover for them. What weekend was it that they beat? I think they beat a team like 3-0. Was it Atletico Madrid?
I will say this, coach. To answer your point, one place for Ghana, one place for Spain.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I gotta say. With no disrespect, because playing professional football is hard, but I have to say that I have to be the bearer of bad news.
Like paella, pass for egg. You know, it's very simple. Very simple equation. Like, and you can't query at the paella. You know, so this whole Nico Williams erasure, I'm not having it, coach. Fuck all that. Shout out to Inaki for actually making it to Ghana, making it to AFCON, getting humbled, and going back and achieving something great with this club. Shout out to them. They have a great story. They really do.
We had a lot of derbies this weekend. Rangers and Celtic in an Old Firm derby. Listen, before I go to heaven, I have to go to a Rangers Celtics game. They're wild.
I feel like if a Scottish person was listening to this right now, they'd tell you, you don't have to do that. You really don't. You really don't have to come to Glasgow. You really don't. You know, but whatever. You can travel wherever you want, bro.
6 goals in that game. A Nigerian scores. So that's really all that matters to me. So, you know.
0 Dutchers?
I think he did. Let me double check. I'm going to talk to Statman right now. Cyril Dutchers has been doing pretty well, though, this season. So. No, his goal got called off. Excuse my French. But Rabi Matondo scored at the end. So, you know,
who? That's a
name. Rabi Matondo.
Bro, man, it's Free Palestine on the spot, man. Chill with all this rabbi shit. What the fuck are you talking about, bro?
We're literally just making people up, guys. I'm pretty certain. No, at this point. What,
Rabi Matondo? Get the fuck out of here, bro.
He's a Congolese who plays for Wales. Anyways, Feyenoord beat Ajax 6-0. I'm going to tell you guys how I found out how that happened. I was earlier today when they were watching that game in public, right? And some guy goes, bro, did you see what happened to Ajax? I was like, what? Put up his phone. I said, excuse me? So,
Erik ten Hag. They've had such a terrible season.
What they need? They need Erik ten Hag back. And you know the reason why they're getting punished? Because they sold us a dummy brick in Antony. God punished them.
Nah, man, I wish that was the case. It's because Mark Overmars was bothering people. And pretty much from that moment, Ajax has not known peace. Even when I went to the stadium to visit them, it was I was like,
the vibes were off, right?
I was like, it smells like harassment in this bitch. I gotta go. Like I wasn't there that long. I was like, I gotta go, man. Y'all need to strip on this shit.
I'm gonna give you guys a funny stat. How many shots do you think Fire Nord had?
15.
That 30. How many shots do you think Ajax had?
A donut.
At least 10.
They had one.
Oh wow.
Harry Ten Hag, Harry Ten Hag, the job is made for you because you're doing the same thing. Sporting and Benfica was 2-1. Jenny Camato, he scored in the first and the last minute of regular time to secure the Sporting win. So fair enough for that, man. That's I like that. Fenerbahce and Galatasaray. Oof. Does anyone want to explain this to the people? Or do I have to do it?
I don't know what actually happened. Why the hell are under-19s playing in the final anyway? I don't get it. Is it a protest?
Fenerbahce are having issues with the larger Turkish football establishment. They feel as if they haven't been treated fairly by referees and by the authorities in the country over the last couple of years. There have been a bunch of incidents. If we got into them, we'd be here all day. But the most dramatic of them, well, the most recent one was when Bright Osayi was punching a Trabzonspor fan on the field a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
So that was part of it. That was part of the issue, because they were like, why are we not being protected? Why are fans of opposing teams capable of jumping on the field to attack us? And a couple years ago, they were driving to a game somewhere, I forget which team they were playing against, and someone actually shot at their bus. A bullet went through their bus.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened. No culprits were ever found. Obviously, it was probably like a lone crazy person that did that. But even so, I can understand Fenerbahce being a little dramatic about things, but they took it pretty far, because for the Super Cup, which already got postponed, it was supposed to be played in Saudi in December, but it got postponed because the Saudi Arabians weren't really down with the idea of the Turks, that being Fenerbahce and Galatasaray, essentially offering tribute to the founder of modern Turkish society. They weren't having that. So the game got postponed or canceled from being hosted in Saudi Arabia. And today they were supposed to play it again. And because Fenerbahce are mad about their general standing in Turkish football and considering withdrawing from the league altogether, they decided to send their under-19s. And they basically started the game, let Mauro Icardi score a goal for Galatasaray, and they walked off the field after 4 minutes. And Galatasaray were crowned Turkish Super Cup champions. Then they had their reserves come on, and they played an actual game for people to watch, which was so fucking weird.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think, just from my perspective, I feel like they should have sent their first team out, and they just had a fight just for the sake of it. It's Turkish football. It would have been just a normal day in Turkish football. That, from my recollection, that's what I think I would have done. You know, start beating up the refs as well. Like
dead ass though. They need to, sometimes we give certain countries, we stereotype them or give them credit for having certain levels of intensity, if you want to call it that. I think they've just gone too far with it, man. Like, we have owners punching refs. We have people shooting buses. We have under-19s playing in lieu of... Like, bro, y'all need a whole clean sweep. Just play football, man. Just play football. Like, all this fucking conspiracy theory shit is just weird. Just play football. That's why we don't talk about them on this pod that often. Because they're always doing crazy shit. They don't play football. They do crazy shit. But, it's been fun talking about the eternal derby, as they call it.
Yeah, and one thing, this is for everybody, so let's keep politics out of sports. Turkey's going to tell you, hell no. this is deep in a rap, okay? This is real Constantine shit, okay? This is deep in a rap. Last week, we had some Premier League games, and we're going to quickly run through the ones that happened. Newcastle-Everton 1-1. Anybody wants to take that one?
Yeah, I'm just really pleased that... Jason Kendall said, that's all that matters. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is scoring again, which is great. We can use the meme again. But yeah, Jason Kendall being sad, guys, is my life force and my sustenance.
I respect it, especially during Ramadan.
The only person I probably dislike more than Jason Kendall is Jason Kendall when he was at Bournemouth.
Nottingham Forest 3, Fulham 1. Anybody coach
Dean? Yeah. Fulham, man, they took 4 points off Arsenal this year, but they're so inconsistent. It's two weeks on, 2 weeks off with these motherfuckers. But at least they have a pool at their stadium now. So I don't know who the fuck is going to sit in that in England. I mean, are English people into pools even? Do you niggas swim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, you know, Yeah, I haven't swam in about a year, but yeah, English people swim. English people swim, like, go to like really dirty lakes and swim, bro. It's disgusting, but yeah.
Oh, yes, y'all from Alabama. Burnley won, Wolves won, even game, even result. Bournemouth won, Crystal Palace 0. Justin Claver is making his dad proud. Who I interview, by the way, little stunt. West Ham won, Tottenham won. I guess it was entertaining, whatever. Mike Antonio, good for you. Brentford 0, Brighton 0. I guess, whatever, man. Arsenal beat Luton Town 2-0. I'm not going to let them tell you about it because they already told you on the Arsenal pod, which you should be listening to anyway. Man City 4, Aston Villa 1. I mean, you know, yeah.
I just want to say it's hilarious that United rested all those players kind of thing, and then they still drop points in a weekend regardless, which we'll get into. But yeah, good for him, like, seriously. And then on top of that, it's that we're talking about today's games if we do that. But yeah, I think it's hilarious that Unai Emery somehow managed to shut out City, and then emphatic way, and then they literally have his pants pulled down. Like, it's not that hard to shut out City. I mean, just look at what Arteta did.
Liverpool 3, Sheffield United 1. Only thing I could take from this game is that Darwin Nunez scored with his taint. Yes, Darwin Nunez scored his taint. So,
hey man, respect that man's booty hole.
Okay. Chelsea 4, United 3. I do not want to live that again. That was chaos, and I also expected it. We'll talk about United.
Palmer, baby.
So can I just say my experience of that game, right? I left my house to go to the mosque, right? And by the time I started my prayers, basically, like, we're in between prayers, so I've had to look at my phone and I've seen that it's 90+3 minutes and United are winning. So I'm like, okay, you know what? It's fine, it's whatever kind of thing. I've now left the mosque. Well, I'm about to get ready to leave the mosque now. Had a look at my phone again and I've seen that it's 4-3 to Chelsea, and I've tried my best. I can't backflip, by the way, but I've tried my best not to backflip and scream down the mosque because I am so confused as to what happened. I still haven't seen the winner because I'm still pretty much in shock. Like, what the hell happened?
100 shots.
Yeah, this story is funny to me because I'm like, this man is an Arsenal fan that went to the mosque. And when he went in, Manchester United were winning. Then when he came out, Manchester United were losing. So did you actually pray at the mosque or not? Because if I went to the mosque, I would have prayed for Manchester United to lose. Because that's the thing I pray about.
I'm just saying, I don't have any words to what I can describe. But I was just so confused.
It was the stupidest shit ever, man. It was the stupidest fucking shit ever.
Like I tweeted today, and like I tweeted yesterday. Every time people watch Man United play, I'm just like, oh, welcome to my life. I'll give you guys a funny story before we get into the weekend. My mom, she asked to pray for Man United. I said, go use your praise for something more useful.
Yeah.
And then after the game, that Chelsea United, she's like, Tosin, these people are not serious. I was like, why? I said, what did I tell you? Don't pray for them. I said, go ahead and use your praise for something else. I was like, I know these people like the back of my hand. Anyways, the weekend came. City beat Crystal Palace 4-2. Palace are quite naive. Mm-hmm. Coach, City won the game here, but they were open. They conceded two. So, yeah.
Look, City are still a juggernaut. They're the champions, obviously, kind of thing. But watching them, it's just strange to see them give up so many chances. And players like Mateta shouldn't be, you know, having all the looks that he got. Like, no disrespect to him, like, but City are just I think they're at a strange point where they know they're really good kind of thing, and they know they should win most games, but teams don't seem to be as scared of them as they used to be. Teams are actually playing against City, and they're looking and they're finding gaps. The only issue is that they've got two absolute shotguns at the other end in KDB and Haaland, and obviously Foden's there as well. But it's just watching City right now is weird. It's like, I know they're better than all these other teams kind of thing, but they're conceding chances and they're conceding goals. It's weird viewing.
I have a question. No, go ahead, Dean. Finish your point.
It feels a bit like City. I mean, because Pep's whole thing is control. He's the original control G and all that. Well, it feels a bit like they're more like Liverpool this year than they tend to be usually, because they're playing Rodri, giving him so much to do. You know, he's even chipping in with goals upon goals this season. He scored 9 this season so far, which is crazy for a defensive midfielder, or what's supposed to be a defensive midfielder. But today, against Crystal Palace, they played Rodri, Alvarez, and KDB. I would expect that midfield to be open. I don't care what else you do, whether you invert Stones into midfield and all that shit. It's going to be open.
It's essentially one defensive midfielder and 2 second strikers, basically.
That is fucking crazy behavior from Pep, man. He doesn't respect a lot of these Premier League teams. That's what
He doesn't. No. Coach, I have a question for you and Dean as well. Foden got dropped, right? And they didn't miss a beat. Is Foden that important that they can drop him? What? You want to answer that? Man,
Foden, this is Foden's first season at City, right? Where he's actually been important to their success. I'm not saying that he hasn't been important before, but it's clear that he's now been given responsibility to be the man. I mean, they rested him before Real Madrid in Champions League. That told you everything you need to know. But I still feel like when push comes to shove kind of thing, he's not going to be the one for them in that the biggest moments. It's still going to be KDB. It's still going to be Haaland. It's still going to be Bernardo Silva, basically. And he can get away with playing. Put it like this, last week, when he came up against a real team kind of thing, he didn't even last an hour. They got him out of there. You don't do that to your best player, to your what's supposed to be your best player, your talisman, against the best team in the league. That's my take on it.
Well, speaking of talisman, West Ham Wolves, Lucas Paqueta, that's their talisman. He got a penalty. James Ward-Prowse, you know, Olympico. VAR disallowed a late Wolves equalizer. I think we're gonna might fall into a little Lee Dixon here. Fall into a little broadcast trap, which, by the way, I know a lot of people don't like Lee Dixon. That's my guy. I love Lee Dixon.
Ah, fuck you and fuck Lee Dixon. Fuck out of here, nigga. Fuck you.
The reason why I love Lee Dixon, as an aside, he hates everything. Like, legit hates everything. And he compares everything to his day.
So he's the most British man ever. He hates every fucking thing.
Everything. Lee Dixon's like, I remember a few years ago, Lee Dixon's like, in my day, I would have done that right back. I'm like, Lee, shut up, please. Like, please, enough.
I mean, I know they pay him to talk, but goddamn, like, I would pay him to shut the fuck up. Like, for real. He is so annoying. Like, respectfully, he's annoying as fuck. Like, I would fight that nigga, like, for real. If I ran into Lee Dixon, like, I know he's your nigga and shit, but if I ran into him, I would fight him. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Crazy thing, though. He's actually a city, academy graduate or some shit. Like, he's not really Arsenal, is he? Let's be honest.
Whatever, fuck him. I'm so glad Wenger got rid of him all that time ago. Fucking prick.
What do you guys think about the VR decision to allow this lot of Wolves go? Dean, this is for you.
I don't know, man. By the letter of the law, it was correct, but we're at this point where, I mean, like, the Wolves owner, Jeff Shee, he wrote this missive after the game. People need to stop fucking writing letters after the game and shit. It's not going to get you your points back. But he made the very good point that it's kind of ridiculous that the referee in the stadium didn't think it was an issue. It was a good goal. Mm-hmm. The opponents didn't think it was a bad goal. That's West Ham. They thought they had conceded a goal. Wolves thought they scored a goal. The stadium thought they scored a goal. The Wolves coaches thought so. The West, David Moyes thought so. So it's like, why is someone at a different location changing the outcome of a game? I didn't think the player standing in front of Fabianski was blocking his view, because Fabianski was way taller than him anyway. Mm-hmm. But by the letter of the law, I can see why they disallowed it. But honestly, it's not, I don't know, man. It's not good for the game, man. It's not good for the game. We need to do better with this VAR shit. We should keep VAR, but we just need to be smart about the way we implement it. That's all.
We need to implement VAR the way we did in AFCON.
Guns and machetes.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Let's talk about Everton and Burnley. Sean Dyche in the derby. Burnley versus Everton. So that's the Dyche derby.
The Dyche derby.
Yeah. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored a goal. So fair play to him. He's coming back to himself. I wonder where his boy Tom Davies is right now. Are we still confident Everton will avoid relegation, fellas?
I mean, I hope so.
Why?
Well, because they need to essentially beat Liverpool. For that to be a reality. So, yeah. I'd hope by the time that they play us in the last game of the season that they're safe, basically. I think Everton are one of the founders of the Premier League, not Man City, by the way. So they need to stay. I feel like, you know, we have to remain, certain traditions and whatnot have to remain. Everton need to be in the Premier League. Like, the Premier League would be, imagine not going to Goodison Park, guys. Like, imagine that. Like,
that's fine by me.
Yeah, because here's the thing, coach. Here's the thing. Goodison Park's not about to exist in the next couple of years anyway.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, though. Like,
I don't.
I need Everton in the league, man. I mean, offer Premier League trophy.
The only reason why I agree with you, coach, is that I think we can't do without the Merseyside derby. Like, yeah, we need that derby. Like, we can't just have Liverpool. You know, I mean, they might start calling Man City their real rival and shit. If everything,
you know what I mean,
and we don't want that bullshit to continue after Klopp leaves. Let's just end that Scissor Sisters bullshit. You know, so Everton can stay. Sure, whatever. Don't really care though.
I mean, our first Premier League title came, you know, when Tony Adams, if he scored that goal against Everton. Like, I need Everton in the Premier League, man, for real. Yeah.
The statue.
I just don't care. like, 20 years ago, Scott McTominay would have been at Everton. Like, so Alisson would have dumped him off there years ago. Or Newcastle, like he did Nicky Butt and Phil Neville.
Hey, man, you got rid of James Garner. That's enough. Relax.
Yeah. Chill. I miss my son. Aston Villa Brentford 3-3. Look, I don't even want to get into the details of this game. I'm gonna say this: I was in the kitchen cooking, and then I hear the commentators screaming. I'll come.
Where else would you be cooking, Tosin?
I don't know. It's New York.
We do shit here. Basement.
Wait. So you wasn't cooking food. So what was you cooking?
Ooh. Me and Eric Adams were chefing up something for the earthquake.
We cooking crack on bleeve, baby.
wrist.
I heard you could cook crack in an air fryer. Is that true, Tosin?
Yeah, Raekwon taught me. It's like I got a pair of wallabies for doing it well. Baby Blue. Aston Villa and Brentford was 3-3. Aston Villa up 2-0, right?
Yeah.
So I come back to my living room, hear the commentator scream. Next thing you know, it's 2-2. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? There's 3-2. And then it ends up being 3-3. Aston Villa get a fumble Champions League spot, aren't they?
Well, look, there was chatter about Unai Emery a few months ago talking about, oh yeah, you know, he's the third best manager in the league. Oh, but look at his trophies and everything like that. And I'm not being a bit of Arsenal. I'm just literally regurgitating what people with, I suppose, less evolved football opinions than mine, I'd say, were saying. And they were basically like, yeah, you know, look at the trophies and all of this. There's a good argument there. And I'm just like, well, guys, if every time he's been at a club where the expectation is to actually be the best team in the league, basically, and you don't, and you fall so far below it, kind of thing. Like, how can you really be a top manager if you at high pressure jobs you seem to fall, right? And now he's at a club where I feel like their ambitions match his ability. He's still finding a way to bottle that as well. So what does that tell you?
That he's a fucking coward.
He also looks like John Turturro. You know that guy, Adam Sandler's friend?
Yeah, I know exactly what about you.
Yeah, he looks like him.
Or as I know him, Jesus from The Big Lebowski. But that's a deep cut for the real niggas.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. Fulham 0, Newcastle 1. You know, what did we just say about Fulham? Anyways, yeah. If you're a Newcastle fan, you have to choose to lose between Isaac or Bruno Grimaes.
Bruno G.
You losing him instead of Isaac? Fair enough.
You can't lose goals. Like, it's a rare trait. A striker that scores goals, a striker that creates his own chances as well. So yeah, Bruno G can go with his SMS, man.
Like, my whole thing is that Isaac, I know he grew up in Sweden and all that, but this is a black man. That means he has tropical blood, like all of us on this podcast. Mm. He shouldn't be living that far north. He needs to come down to London, you know, come down to London and hang out at the club with cannons and players that are good. You know, come to Arsenal is what I'm saying. I need this nigga at Arsenal.
I'm sure
who they choose. I need him.
Coach, I have a question. Y'all got Injera in London?
Of course we're Injera.
So bring him down. I was asking, you know, just make sure
next
to bring
time
him
Dean visits. Next time Dean visits, I'll take him to a really nice like Eritrean or like Ethiopian restaurant, man.
Fair enough.
No, I'm not going.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not fucking going.
Luton 2, Bournemouth 1. Carlton Morris got a last-minute winner. So shout out to Hanson Boy Modeling School. I graduated from there not too long ago. Dean also graduated from there. Coach is doing his PhD as we speak. So.
speak for yourself. I didn't need to go to school for this. I was born with this. This is Maybelline, nigga. I was born with this shit.
No, I didn't go to school for it. You know, I just they enrolled me somehow. I was like, nigga, I don't need this, but I was there somehow.
Well, I'm basically married, so yeah, I couldn't give a shit, basically.
Yo, real quick, y'all think Carlton Morris knows that he's black?
No.
He just got one of them weird ginger niggas.
I think he probably gets a move to La Liga and then he knows then pretty much. So.
Yeah, he could tear up the fucking league at Mallorca. He would fit right in.
Yeah.
Who does he play for internationally? Oh, he's English. He can't really play for anybody else. Ah, fair enough. He's got time on the weekends.
Nah. Would Nigel Farage think it was English? Let's ask the serious questions on this podcast. Okay, yeah, we can't be on YouTube pussyfooting around about the serious questions. Carlton Morris, you, my friend, are redacted. Let's move on. This is almost empty. I might be drunk by now. I don't know.
Guys, it's only Camp Cranberry juice here. Just so you know.
Brighton 0, Arsenal 3. Go listen to the Arsenal podcast. It's out now. Yeah. Arsenal won in second gear. The only thing that I want to add, as a professional Arsenal hater, but also appreciative of the game, Arsenal have big men. What did Big E see again? Meaty men. Yeah. I want to see the five-star matches.
And we slapped that mute all over De Zerbi's face.
Listen, relax.
That nigga was so sad. Did you see that picture of him covering his face at halftime?
Yeah.
Like, I never seen a coach give up like that on the bench. Like, oh, man, this Arteta nigga got me fucked up. Like, I never seen that shit in my life. It was like, oh.
Look.
Do you know what, just so we're clear, though, I think there's no shame, genuinely, there's no shame in losing. It's not just Arsenal, but losing like that if you play like Brighton. Like, I saw that Trossard goal, I saw it happening pretty much before kickoff because I knew that at some point the game would be stretched and Brighton will overcommit. And I don't feel like it's naive. They're not challenging for the league kind of thing. If they managed to nick something off of yesterday, it would have come from them being brave, not from them sitting in their shell, basically. So, look, Max, on respect to Brighton every single time. Like, since Potter, since all the coaches, that Chris Hughton as well, they've always had a similarish philosophy.
What the fuck is this nigga talking about, man?
You know, like, who he sounds like? He sounds like in Game of Thrones when he's talking to Reek. That's what he sounds like.
Oh, whatever, man.
Like, listen, man, these niggas need to bow to Thanos Arteta. We out here emptying stadiums out, getting fucking five clean sheets in a row away from home. No other team in the league even has that many throughout the whole season. Man, we are the best team in the world, baby.
Let's talk about Sheffield United 2, Chelsea 2. Only thing I got to say is, Ollie McBurnie, you did it. You did it, son.
That's your guy. He might be the swaggiest white striker in the league as well, which is like, yeah, for real.
Nah, not during Ramadan. That's Kai Havertz, my guy. Relax.
Swag? No. He dresses better than Havertz, I think, still. Look, Chelsea. Yeah, look, I'm just here to tell you again. You guys are trash. You're not special. Everything special about you came out from the Russian taxpayer. Right, that's it. Right. You're done. You're over. That's it.
Like, listen, man. The fascinating thing about this conversation we just had is that I just realized that Coach follows Ollie McBurnie on Instagram, and I'm disgusted. Because the swaggiest white striker. What the fuck are you talking about, boy? Swaggiest white striker. Fuck out of here.
Oh man. Speaking of tax evaders or taxpayers, excuse me, wrong word. Tottenham beat Nottingham Forest 3-1.
Yeah, anyway, so next game, please.
Like, listen, guys, we can't ignore Tottenham every fucking week. Please. Yeah. Like, I mean, why not? If Chris Wood had scored, like, he had a chance, it was a sitter. Like, he had already scored their first. I know.
What's the next game, please?
come on, man. We got other people listening to this shit besides Arsenal fans.
If Tottenham fans listen to this, I need you to know that you shouldn't be listening to this. This pod is not for you.
Listen, man, their money count the same, man. Their money count the same. Hey, Tottenham fans, see this white version of the jersey? Y'all cop this one. Yeah. The pink one for the Arsenal fans. Y'all cop this one. But yeah, Nottingham Forest could have had something in this game, man. If Chris Wood had just scored a second goal, like I know he's been in good form. I know he scored a goal in this game, but the miss in that first at the mid, oh man, it was such a bad miss. He was right on the goal line and he hit the bar.
I know earlier we talked about Turkey and fighting. What was James Maddison doing punching Ryan Yates?
I don't know, white on white crime or some shit. I don't fucking know, like like some Fox News shit. But he should have got sent off for that. It's crazy that VAR didn't look at it and the referee didn't look at it. I feel like Tottenham get away with a lot of shit like that, and I don't understand.
I mean, Romero probably should be sent off every single match day, and he doesn't
every single game. And it's like, coach, what's the deal with that though? Why do they seem to be favorites in the media and among refs somewhat? I think.
Well, you know when you're just genuinely harmless, like nobody gives a damn about you because they know, like, you could have a loaded gun to their face and they know you're not going to pull that trigger. Like, you're just the most friendly, most harmless, most trophy allergic club to ever exist. Who cares? Who cares if Tottenham get decisions? They're going to Tottenham themselves at some point anyway. Like, give Tottenham all the look. They won a game against Liverpool. They had no right winning, right? And they're probably not going to make Champions League this year anyway. Tottenham are going to Tottenham themselves. Who cares?
Speaking of, you know, Tottenham themselves, Man United have been Man United themselves all season. That game against Liverpool, I'm going to let y'all take it because I have my own thoughts and opinion. Insanity is the word, but yuck. Yeah.
Well, by the time you guys listen to this, the United pod should be out, I hope. No, I'm joking. But look, I knew exactly what kind of game that was going to be. And I've gotten to Bruno Fernandes so much, and I feel like I'm just so justified in saying this, but he's a complete idiot. Because in the first, a minute and a half, United should be 1-0 up if he plays the pass first time rather than taking a touch. Like, Garnacho goes through on goal, and he's clearly offside by the time he's taken a touch rather than playing it first time. So, yeah, there's that. But then on the flip side of that, because he's clearly an escapee from Arkham Asylum, he decides to take a shot first time from the center circle after a Kwanzaa misplaced pass, and he gets over the goalkeeper in such an impressive manner, kind of thing. And that's Bruno Fernandes. That's quite literally that's Bruno Fernandes, guys. They don't try to understand him. He's basically the human form of the Bundesliga. He's not meant to be understood. He's only supposed to be experienced. That's it. The Bruno Fernandes experience. That's what he is.
And I'm very tired of the experience. I went off this ride. I'm very tired. Dean, you got anything you want to add about this game?
I just want to express this is something I'm not going to say very often in my life. I've maybe never even said something like this ever before. I want to express my gratitude to Manchester United for doing something, because I expected nothing. And as a result of this 2-2 draw with Liverpool, in a game that they definitely should have been blown out in the first half, because I think Onana had to make 17 saves or some shit in the first half. It was crazy. Like,
Onana,
peppering you guys.
Onana is low key beating the black keeper allegations. Swear enough.
No.
Coach ain't having that. Ever.
No. Less than 2 years ago, we already fell for it with Mendy, and what's happened? He had to learn Arabic. No. Let's not do this. I'm not falling for it ever again. There's certain professions, certain things in life where black people just we're not supposed to be there, and that's okay. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
I just want to make it clear that I don't co-sign any of the bullshit this nigga just
said. He absolutely does. Guys, it's fine. Black footballers are footballers. There's no black goalkeepers. I'm sorry. I'm not having it. It's done. It's done.
In any event, Manchester United got a 2-2 draw in a game that, you know, I mean, to be fair, it is Liverpool, Manchester United, so you can never predict what's going to happen in that game.
Especially at Old Trafford.
Especially at Old Trafford, yes.
All the rules go out. I will say this much. Willie Kwambala, Ole Longbala, you know, Fally Upa, you guys need to come and praise your nephew. This kid impressed me today. He was very good. There was a play in the first half where he messed up. But he sprinted back and slide tackled Darwin. And I was like, you know what? Fair enough, kid. fair enough.
No, I will say just to add on to that, I was really impressed with just how aggressive he was, because a lot of the time when he was making those tackles, if he missed those tackles kind of thing, Liverpool are completely through. That's the one thing I will say. Secondly,
that was the one thing you're gonna say. That's the one fucking thing you're gonna say, because get in here. I'm not having you praise a Congolese person for being aggressive. What the fuck is that shit? Aaron Wan-Bissaka was aggressive and gave 3 points away. It should have been 3 points, and it was 1 point because of an aggressive Congolese nigga allowed his pointy shoes to fuck Harvey Elliott up and cost Arsenal some shit. So don't come on this fucking podcast complimenting Congolese niggas for being aggressive.
Okay. Here's the thing. Let's be serious here. Guys, was that a penalty?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question.
Okay. Why is it a penalty? Is it because Wan-Bissaka's an idiot?
It's soft. His
leg and he tripped Elliott. I'm sorry.
I'm of the opinion that he absolutely got what he deserved because he dived in. Like, that's the view on it. But really and truly, technically, he's left his foot in. That's all that's happened. Elliott has left his foot in because Wan-Bissaka hasn't actually touched him until Elliott goes into him. But because Wan-Bissaka's gone down, I'm not being funny. You've given the referee decision to make, so that's on you. But really and truly, I think that's one of the softest penalties we'll see.
It's soft, but it's a penalty. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not willing to really relitigate that one, because I just feel like, I know Aaron Wan-Bissaka is probably the best slide tackler in the game, but he made a mistake there. He should have stayed on his feet. Like, there was no threat there. He panicked, and I don't know why. The guy was dribbling towards goal, but away from goal. Mm-hmm. You need to slide in there. Just keep a body between the man and the ball. That's it. Take it from me. I'm an expert. I played in the Prem.
Last thing before we move on and wrap this all thing up. Casemiro, my friend, it is time for you to learn Arabic.
Who's to say he doesn't already know Arabic? He looks Arabic to me.
He looks Guyanese. But, ladies and gentlemen, this was the Weekend Review. We appreciate you guys for listening. Coach Dean, y'all got anything else you want to add before we head out of here?
Peace.
I was going to say, thank you, folks, for sticking with us. I mean, obviously, we've, popping this shit on YouTube means that it's another step forward for us. And we hope you continue to support us as we make more and more steps. Just stick with us. We're going places. Come with us.
I pull up the socials that are literally running down the screen right there.
Right at the bottom.
Last thing I want to add is shout out to Don Staley, Philly's finest. That's all I got to add to that. Broad Street Bullies. We're out. Everyone take it easy. Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation. My plantation. My plantation. Plantation. Plantation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.